You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. It's getting close to that next month of Advent, and we're getting close to Christmas. Oh my gosh, it's hard to believe, between spring going so fast and then into summer and the hot summer days that we've had, the glorious fall that we've had, and now we're into approaching Advent. Unbelievable, amazing how quickly the days go by, right, brothers and sisters? Brothers and sisters, today I'm going to talk about something. I don't want to sound it morbid, but we're going to talk about, who do you belong to? And so I thought I would start up with a prayer that's called, You Have Called Me by Name. O Lord my God, you called me from the sleep of nothingness merely because in your tremendous love, you want to make good and beautiful beings. You have called me by my name in my mother's womb. You have given me breath and light and movement and walked with me every moment of my existence. I am amazed, Lord God of the universe, that you attend to me and more cherish me, create in me the faithfulness that moves you, and I will trust you and yearn for you all my days. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you can learn a lot, actually, when visiting a cemetery. Yes, a cemetery. And I often go and spend time with my dad there. And one of his friends is also just a couple of gravestones away. One thing you can take in is, it's just how quiet the grounds are. After all, right, the residents aren't saying much. But there's also the realization that death does not pick and choose those who join its ranks. It simply swallows up all humanity. And many of those buried under the manicured lawns were perhaps acquainted with portions of Ben Franklin's quip that in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. Perhaps they had nonetheless pushed that out of mind, some even with no sense of accountability, yet their lives all ended, and rarely in a time of their choosing. Recently, I learned more about life and paying respects at different burial spots for family, and on leaving, I stumbled on an amazing tombstone. Like all markers, it had a name and dates of birth and death divided by a dash, but it was the epitaph below that grabbed my attention. It proclaimed all I needed to know about the quietness of the dash above. It read, "The property of God." And that was it, and it was everything. Four simple words defined this individual's focus in life. And they expressed a great truth we all need to understand about God's calling. Here before me was a gift bequeathed to me in the moment, a powerful reminder of what we become in responding to Jesus Christ's welcoming invitation of follow me. The word property, which catches your attention, demands careful unpacking. The clear sense was that of ownership, being owned by God and belonging to Him as a possession. Many would be hesitant to use such terminology or to accept it. Property? Really? Come on. In our current society, why would someone desire to tell all who pass by that he or she was owned? Humanly, it might sound pretty repugnant, but on the surface, it seems to have echoes of human bondage. But what did it mean to the deceased individual? And what may we, the living, derive from the scripture regarding the life and times of Jesus and his early followers? Rome ruled the Western world in the first century of AD. Historians estimate that the Italian peninsula's population was 40 to 50% slaves, and in the remainder of the empire, perhaps 10% were slaves. Slavery was part and parcel of the times. Slaves were stationed among all levels of society, whether secretaries in the imperial household, teachers, artists, miners, or galley rowers, they all had one thing in common. They belonged to someone else. They were property to carry out someone else's bidding and not their own. This was the world of the apostolic scriptures of the New Testament. Written in Greek language, they refer often to slaves, but subsequent Bible translations have softened the reality of the times and the fullness of the intent by using more neutral-sounding English words such as servant, bondman, bondmaid. So, this is the sense of being the property of another, even the property of God. Of course, God sees us as more than property, for we belong to Him as His very own children. But that doesn't change the fact that we are still His property, He being our owner and master, albeit a master who loves us completely. What can we learn from the greatest teacher of all, the greatest teacher of all time, regarding not only who he was and what he said, but what he practiced throughout his human existence? Knowing him and becoming like him as we accept his invitation of follow me are two different levels of experience, and we must understand both. Growing up, Jesus would have been familiar with Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. He fully understood the reality of God as creator, so that all that exists, whether animate or inanimate, belongs to him. Simply put, it is all God's property. But there is more to think about. In Jesus' uncreated pre-existence as God, the Word who was God with the Father, all things were created through him. For by him, that's Jesus, all things were created that are on earth, visible and invisible. And then the divine Word performed the humanly unthinkable. He became one of us, brothers and sisters. He walked this earth. He cried. He laughed. He prayed. He hoped. And he dreamed. Heaven and earth were there. I missed my little train of thought. He became one of us. And for that, Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross, which is referred to in Philippians chapter 2. This passage in Philippians 2, if I should grab my Bible, hang on, don't leave me, don't leave me. All right, so Philippians chapter 2, here we are, Philippians chapter 2. And we are looking at verse 6. So it says, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This passage encapsulates really for us, brothers and sisters, where Jesus came from, the state in which he arrived, the way in which he existed as the Son of Man, taking on the role of a humble, obedient slave, and how he departed the human experience. He became all of us and displayed firsthand how we can become more than we could ever be on our own in submitting our life as the property of God. Christ's life was purposeful and not accidental. He lived every moment by divine design and obedience. His purpose and calling to be our Savior owned him and filled him up. As the Son of Man in this human existence, he belonged to God, the Father, and in his own words proclaimed in John 4, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." Even in the most challenging moments of his life, with death just around the corner, he remained steadfastly obedient when he told our Heavenly Father I want your will to be done and not mine. His purpose was eternal. He came and died that you and I, my dear brothers and sisters, may have life, and that we may have it not just a little, or you know, just have a little good life, but as scripture says, to have it more abundantly. His belonging to his and our Heavenly Father and belonging to their joint purpose broke our bondage to Satan, our bondage to sin, and our bondage to self that lurks within us. Peter plainly tells us that we were not redeemed, ransomed beyond our capabilities with corruptible things such as like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, but instead with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so, building on this purchase from death to life, the Apostle Paul sums it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20, reminding all who would heed the invitation of follow me, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, and you are not your own? For you, that means you and me, all of us, every living, breathing soul on this earth, and the ones that are in the wombs, We were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, and that which belong to God. What does that mean, to glorify God in your body? Take care of yourself, brothers and sisters. Eat right. Take care of yourself. Ask God to help you if you have an eating disorder, if you have problems, you're trying to lose weight. Brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to boast, but I have a physical disability, and I cannot jog like many. I cannot go into the gym and use a lot of the equipment because of my disability. I can't ride my bike at all as I used to be able to. And so the weight comes on. And women, I don't know, women, we women really do struggle with weight. It's not easy for women compared to men. I've seen my husband drop weight very easily, but for me, it was really difficult. And one of the things I had done, I joined a gym I don't know how many times, and never followed through for very long. I'll be honest about that. It's no fault to the gym, but it's myself, right? It was my own fault. And what I kept doing wrong was I didn't pray about it. I didn't pray. I didn't ask the Lord to help me. I said, you know, I didn't come to him. I thought, I'm doing this on my own. This is my problem. You know, why would God help me with my weight? You know, this is something that I'm doing wrong. So it's not God. It's not, you know, I thought I was better. Like, I thought I was so strong that, I don't know, very foolish. Until finally, I was getting nowhere. I wasn't gaining weight much more, but neither was I losing it. And so finally, I sat and I prayed. And I prayed not just once or twice, but many times, over and over again, asking the Lord to help me discern before I drive by the coffee shop, not to pick up a donut. Right? Not to pick up a hamburger or something. You know, brothers and sisters, it isn't easy to take care of your body. You need God's help. We need God's help for everything, let alone our weight. But when you bring it to the Lord, you can trust him. You know that he's going to help you. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, in all the years, I never thought I would lose the weight. And I'm at a weight that I'm very happy with. Right, considering I haven't been able to do those physical things. But somehow, through the grace of God, I was able to lose the weight. And you know, for me, brothers and sisters, and maybe for you too, losing weight means lowering your sugar, lowering your blood, your cholesterol. You know, you become healthier. Your body is, your bones are able to carry you, you know. Your legs are able to hold you up, your frame, right? So brothers and sisters, if anything I would say to you is bring it to God. And when you do bring it, believe that he is taking care of it. And just thank him, and thank him profusely. Thank him over and over again for everything in your life, every day. And little by little, I guarantee you, you will lose the weight, or you will gain the weight that you want to gain according to the grace of God. So trust in him, my friends. Trust in him. Trust in him. You know, all the early purveyors of the gospel came to understand and accept this God-given role when they accepted the invitation of follow me. Scriptures such as Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Peter and James chapter 1, verse 1, plainly show that Paul, Peter, and James, Jesus' half-brother, viewed themselves, they looked at themselves as Christ's slaves, a slave belonging to someone else, and not just a servant. This is how they introduced themselves, as they introduced their messages. And all of us are to likewise be slaves to God and his righteousness for our ultimate goal and good. As we understand and hopefully embrace what it means, to be the property of God, we need to ask ourselves a simple question. What part of our lives have we not yet given over to God? Oh, isn't that a good question, my friends? Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? What part of my life, your life, have we not given over to God? I just gave you a prime example. Wait. Think about your finances. I think there isn't a person on this earth through the onset of the pandemic has not thought about their finances, their jobs, their businesses, their relationships, and the absence of communication with so many other than virtual Zoom. It's been a challenge, right, brothers and sisters? No doubt about it. But somehow, here we are. We're still smiling. We're still here. We're still okay. We still have food in the fridge. We still have shelter. We still have the chance to hear each other. We still have our ears to hear. We still have our eyes at least to witness God's beauty. We can feel the raindrops on our face, the coldness, the wind, the sun warming our face. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have so much to be grateful for, don't we? We really do. You know, I just pray that these broadcasts encourage you. And I pray that you never feel alone, that whenever we come together, that we talk about things that matter to you, that matter to you, that bring a joy to you, that bring you a smile, that bring you hope. Because we at Radio Maria Canada, and plainly Radio Maria, we care about our listeners so much so that we have amazing people at the helm that guide and provide and inspire all of us to bring the kind of programming that only through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary that we're able to do. And so each of us guests and hosts and program, our wonderful program manager, Alex Diaz, our beautiful parish priest, Father George Amaro, our wonderful people who work in the office. I hope it's all right if I say Giovanni and Rosa. God bless each and every one of them, all of us. All of us are grateful for these individuals who've come forward to provide all of us, including myself. When I'm not on the air, I'm listening to Radio Maria all the time. I travel with my little radio here and I go from room to room. And it is just such an encouragement. What better thing to listen to all day than do we want to hear pandemic numbers? Do we want to hear who's been vaccinated, who hasn't? What kind of protests are out there? What's going around in the world? You know, brothers and sisters, we need God. We need God more than we think, more than just time for the rosary, the divine mercy, prayer groups. We need him 24/7. And in everything, my friends, in everything, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. So Jesus Christ presents us this non-flexible equation. No one can serve two masters. And again, the call of follow me is more than simply who you know or answering the question of who do you say that I am. It is becoming like the master teacher. The same one who proclaimed in words and by example, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus belonged to his Father in every way and placed his life in his care to the very end when he prayed, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. As you walk away from this broadcast, think about that question. How will your living legacy read? Will it reflect that you are the property of God? Brothers and sisters, we need faith. Angels heed the voice of God's word. Words are spiritual seeds, words of life that produce life. Words of faith produce faith. God talks in faith. God gives life to the dead and calls those things that which do not exist as they did. Through faith-filled words, God created the universe. As sons of God and daughters of God, we are called to be imitators of God, filled with God's Spirit. When we are in Christ and we have the promise of God, we have the right to speak about something God has promised as if it existed even before our natural senses are conscious of it. It is our faith that gives substance to this confession of things not seen. For example, if we have believed God for a car, we can talk about our car before we see it. We should realize that God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness and all spiritual blessings, but the effect of receiving depends on our faith. Faith is confident of the faithfulness of God in his declared promises and talks and acts so even before the natural eye sees. Not long ago, we had a wonderful broadcast in another program that I host called Beyond the Pages. And we had such a beautiful writer, Marianne Winchell, who wrote the book, Your Thoughts Are Killing You. And that is the crux of her book, faith, brothers and sisters, faith. You've got to have faith. And once you have that faith, your thoughts will be godly thoughts. Your hopes, your direction that you'll be going will be God-driven. And through the Holy Spirit, this can happen. We need faith, brothers and sisters. So on the next one, and you're saying to yourself, okay, Christina, yeah, that's great, but I don't know. How do I develop faith? How do I get that faith? Well, I guess you'll have to stay tuned for the next broadcast. So my dear brothers and sisters, as always, you're a joy to be with, and I care about each and every one of my listeners, and I thank you so much for being with me every Tuesday, every Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30 here on the Father's Quilt. May God richly bless you, inspire you, give you hope and no fear. There is nothing to worry because God is in control of the entire situation. God is our rock and refuge. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I had